views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
Today, your guest host, Karen Benton, is here. Karen is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. Joyful, abundant, and bursting with energy. Here is your guest host, Karen Benton.
Hello, and welcome to Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm so honored to be a regular guest for Colette Steffen on the powerful show she created called The Truth is Funny. I'm here every third Wednesday of the month, but we happen to have switched things up this month. Being a parent, you know, life and commitments tend to shift things up a little bit, and Colette has been so kindly generous and flexible in that we've switched weeks. So surprise, it's me this week, not Colette. Stay tuned for the next hour as we explore cutting edge information and experiences to assist you in reclaiming the inherent capacity that exists within you to solve life's most challenging problems. This shift happens every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time, live on the airwaves and in the archives whenever you see fit to join. Podcasts are available for every show at truthisfunny.com, transformationtalkradio.com. And for the shows that I host, you can also find those at karenbenton.com. The work we explore in these shows is designed with the intention of enlivening within each listener their own capacity to create and experience transformation. Repeated listening to the podcast has been reported to be a powerful gateway for change. It is truly my honor and pleasure to share this powerful hour with you and provide the opportunity to call in live with comments, questions, or shares. Together, we can transform life's conflicts and challenges into possibilities with ease and fun. We're often so thinking about challenges as a drag or a weight, and we're here together to change that perspective, to get excited, to see them as opportunities, and to share in that journey together. We absolutely would love to hear from you. Feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819. And so here we are at that point that is so very exciting for me. I'm just thrilled to introduce my guest today, as not only is she a personal hero in our own family, but I would almost go to say that there is a Liz Slade effect. There is a bond that many parents share who have had the honor of having this amazing woman teach their children. And there is a light that enters any conversation when somebody mentions her name and that their child had her as a teacher. Her name, as I've already mentioned, is Liz Slade, and she is a gifted educator who has worked in the field of education and child development for over 30 years. She has extensive experience in therapeutic early childhood education, special education, and general education classroom teaching. Her degrees and certifications include an MS in education from Bank Street, postgraduate work with the Educational Institute for Learning and Research, early childhood therapeutic intervention training from St. Luke's Hospital Department of Child Psychiatry and the Jewish Board of Family and Children's Services, as well as what she's now seems to be most notably receiving accolades for, is her certification as a Mindful Schools instructor and studying with the Inner Resilience Program and the Mindful Education Institute. She was moved by the benefits of her own meditation practice and spearheaded in our school the mindfulness and social emotional learning initiative that subsequently became a district-wide endeavor, reaching over 5,000 students. I was actually on the forefront of this initiation as my son, I believe, had her in the second year that she brought this program in. And, you know, all the kids in that second grade class would speak of the gong, the bong, the boing, however the different terms that they had for it, and what a cool feeling it would bring in them. Liz, I'm just so honored to get to spend this hour with you and share with our community the wisdom, the pearls, the knowledge, the excitement, and truly what I would define as your incredible ability to hold a space of presence, openness, and truth. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Thank you, Karen. What a moving introduction. You know, I have to tell you that just, you know, I just jotted down like your introduction to the show, you know, talking about the inherent capacity in each of us, you know, to find meaning and joy and transformation. And if we're talking about teaching and parenting, I feel like I don't need to say anything else.
I know. And it isn't, it is when you speak in that language, we all recognize it, right? Meaning any of us say that we all have an inherent capacity to change. We're all changing every day. Yet the key piece of this is that we forget, right? The way daily life hits us, the challenges that arise, there's these sort of inner voices that arise that we sometimes give names to, but they're all our own, you know, they're all a part of ourselves that say we're not changing, we're staying the same, things aren't happening the way they're supposed to happen. And for me, I remember when each of my children, you know, had the joy of working with you on a daily basis in their classroom. And it was at such a key time in their lives where the educational demands were beginning to increase. There was less play. I remember in particular my daughter mourning the fact that there was, you know, one less recess or something like that during the day. Yeah. And how she mourned it and she missed it. And I always felt that you had an incredible skill of supporting children to transition that in their own natural way, that if they were upset, it was perfectly fine for them to be upset about that. If their letters were backwards, that was okay for them to be backwards. And in a growing trend to diagnose early, to label, to know what's going on, that created a lot of space for me, because as a medical practitioner, we're driven with the same sort of approach. Let's label, let's diagnose, let's look. And I am in no way saying that this approach is bad or wrong, but I personally found comfort in creating space in those pathways, opening to remembering the natural expression that each child brings to the learning environment. And for me, one would say, how did you do it? I don't know. Do you have any idea how you did it?
Well, first I'd say, how do we all do it? You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, teaching in my mind is such a conversation, you know, between the kid, the teacher, and the parent. And I mean, as you know, your kids went through an amazing elementary school with so many really wonderful teachers. I do think that when teachers feel held and supported themselves, and when they can tap into their own inner resources, then they can kind of find the heart of their teaching and really, you know, kind of see and respond to their students. You know, when I was thinking about coming on the show and you know, and also just this really amazing time of life that I'm in right now, having worked in classrooms and schools for over 30 years, And now being in a different role of consulting and doing private work, but really having a lot of time just to reflect on what was such a profoundly moving career. And that's still really, it's all part of the same picture now. But the time in the classroom, what I find myself thinking about, and this was this is true in terms of my parenting as well. I mean, as imperfect as I've been as a parent or a teacher, I think that what has helped me find joy and compassion for myself when I'm imperfect, which is all the time, has been early guidance I got around really touching in with my deepest values and my, you know, what's, you know, when I go underneath, why am I teaching? To why am I really teaching? To why am I really, really teaching? And which has always helped me remember, you know, I'm teaching to be a part of love and celebration, and passionate inquiry. And as I would reflect on that, I found tremendous nourishment. And also as I reflected on those times and people who nourished me, it was such impetus to connect with each kid.
Yeah. That's so beautiful, because I think we all get so caught up in the go, 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 do, do, do world. We forget the real reasons we're enjoying, you know, we're engaging in anything we do.
Yeah.
You know, even from whatever our career may be, we're in the information system world, we're faced with constant information that may not always be equally met with truth of what we love to do. And we may even be doing what we love to do, but we've almost, you know, like I said, forgotten it. The human condition, we forget in all sorts of different spaces, these ideas of who or what we should be, we forget who and what we actually are.
Right, right. And the beauty that's here right now.
I love that. Well, I think, believe it or not, it's already time to take our first break. But when I come back, I want to explore, you know, how you were so unbelievably successful in bringing that, you know, we'll use the coin term mindfulness, but we're also going to address how that term does not necessarily totally encompass everything that you do. But for now, we'll use it as an umbrella term because it's recognizable. But, you know, because that's a pretty impressive transition, you know, from classrooms that we still face with the idea that we're doing, and you're bringing in, you brought in 8 years ago a whole lot of just being, and I put that in quotes for everybody out there. And I would like to talk to you about that and explore the experience that you had, how you approached it, what it was like for you when you were approaching it, and boy, where you are now. So thank you so much for this first little part. It's been lovely. You are listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I am Karen Benton, and my guest is Liz Slade, a teacher, a gifted, I don't know, what do we call it, beingness practitioner, a gifted woman in infusing our world with what most of us need more than anything is the connection to presence and being. When we return, we will continue with this amazing talk. Please feel to call in at 1-800-930-2819, and we will make some shift happen.
I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
So we are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Karen Benton, and my guest today is Liz Slade. Liz Slade, boy, I just sort of slurred that together. Before we continue, can you please share your contact information with the audience, Liz? Just on the, if there's anyone that would like to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Okay, well, at this point, I do not have a website, and I may or may not get one. Although that I my husband years ago saved LizSlade.com, so it's there but unused at this point. If people want to reach me, probably the best way is my email, which is LZ. So it's Liz without the I, LZ Slade, S-L-A-D-E, at yahoo.com.
Perfect. And we are still very valuable humans, even without websites now in this day and age. Isn't it so funny? All these,
I know.
There are plenty incredibly successful people that, you know, that choose not to have websites. And I think it's valuable, you know, it's about knowing what works for us. And I think you have quite a following, and, people can reach you. Like I said, they just need to follow the Liz Slade effect. They'll find you. I think that's funny. It's a light little term. Anyway, feel free, all of our listeners, to call in. We love to hear from you. 1-800-930-2819. So we were speaking about, you know, I would just like to, you know, tell us your story, right? As far as how you were able to bring this concept of mindfulness, of beingness, of pausing, or however you want to describe it, please show us, you know, shed the light on how were you able to open up the administrators' minds to such a radical change? What was it like for you? Were there dark moments in there? And share whatever you'd like to encourage each person out there who has an idea that they want to bring to a system that may be in one operating mode and they want to enrich it, enlighten it, open it, bring their own peace to it.
Well, the way that I started, and, you know, for a while, I do have to say I defined it as mindfulness. And now I have a much broader view of how we can support the inner lives of children so that they can learn and flourish and grow and ultimately grow up to human beings who can be transformative citizens. When initially I had my own mindfulness practice, and just sort of started to get the idea that, this feels so important to me, and I've seen its impact on me, and what would it be like to try some of this out with the kids? So it started with curiosity, but because I believe that successful initiatives are never about one person, it also came with inspiration from others. So if any of you are from our shared school community, which is the Chatsworth Elementary School, Jan Cleary had been doing breathing exercises with her students in the hall after lunch. So that was a piece of inspiration for me. And I thought, that's a little bit tied to my own personal practice. And a teacher of mine, a meditation teacher, actually said, you know, Liz, I have this book for you. And it was one of the very first books about mindfulness in education. It was never just about me. And initially, I just started experimenting in my classroom totally inexpertly, you know, and, you know, because I would sit in stillness. I thought that they can sit in stillness. Why not? You know, of course, developmentally inappropriate, the length that I was trying, and certainly at first, you know, for second grade kids, particularly second grade boys. But even so, with my inexpert trying, and then, you know, I was on a retreat and I spoke with some people there who'd been doing work with kids who were like, what? You're having them sit for how long? but I began to play around, to learn from others. And so what was happening in my classroom began to evolve. And then colleagues were kind of getting interested. My principal noticed a difference in the kids. I was kind of quiet about it at first. So that I also had a very supportive principal who actually had a yoga practice, Boyle. So she was inspired. And then my next inspiration, again, came from other colleagues. My colleagues, Kay Kobe and David Miles, who had retired right around that time, had often applied for grants to bring speakers to our district. And they had started some wonderful initiatives themselves. So I thought about them. I thought about what I was doing. And I just decided to see who I could find and, you know, what kind of funding could I find to bring some training to our school. And my principal, Gail, was certainly in support, and colleagues, a number of colleagues were like, yes, yes, yes. And then when I mentioned it to parents, a whole bunch of parents of students I'd had were, yes, yes, yes. So it all started with inspiration from others, with inspiration from my own practice, and then with a collaborative endeavor that I did a lot of the legwork for, but I had a lot of support. So we started out at Chatsworth. I was in touch with a number of leaders in the mindful education world, and Linda Lantieri, who lives in New York City, very nicely, you know, agreed to work with us, and we received funding from the Mamaroneck Schools Foundation, which supports teacher initiative, and it grew from there. There was also, at the same time, within the community, people who were getting interested. So there was a lot of synergy around all of this. The big mistake, I don't even know if the word is words of caution, but things I quickly learned. One was when we first rolled this out and did a parent workshop. And Karen, I even think you were there. It was an evening thing. And a whole bunch of parents raised their hands and said, which teachers are doing this in which classrooms? Because everybody's desperate for something, particularly that's related to, in quotes, stress reduction. Mm-hmm. Because families are so stressed. And actually, it's gotten worse since, I think that was 2011. It's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. Which teachers are doing it? Which teachers are doing it? And our answer to them, which I really, really believe, is that the ways that teachers address the inner lives of children depend on what resonates for them, and that there's many doorways in. Mm. That every teacher is committed to supporting the social emotional life of your child. And in truth, I really believe that classical mindfulness, or as one might imagine it, isn't something that everybody resonates with.
Right.
But when you really talk to teachers, they really do care about the inner lives of their students.
Yes.
And they want to have joyful, good-hearted, happy students. They do.
So,
and so the point is more to empower teachers to trust their own hearts.
That's so beautiful. You know, and I think what goes with that is the same with each parent, right? And I'm sure it was an interesting experience to be having a practice with children that the parents may or may not have skills to tap into. And it has to start somewhere. And the beauty of life is recognizing, though someone may not be adhering to the storyline we expect, meaning they may not be receiving support at home, or another parent may be frustrated feeling that their teacher is not providing what they want. They're all perspectives, they're all opinions, they're all outlooks that are a product of their own beliefs, their own ideas, and really none of them are wrong.
That's right. Then
at the same time, we do have to, create a path. We have to take action, we have to move forward with a particular piece. And what I love that this brings is that space for people to re-remember. And from my own personal experience, I might need to do this several times in a day, let alone in a week, right? Re-remember that having extra space helps me use all the aspects of myself to sort through the skills that I have that are not mentally based.
Yeah.
To realize what my path is for me.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what I love is that your story is infused with, it had amazing moments, and it had really challenging, crazy moments, things that I would like to go back and change. And for the community out there, us all remembering, whenever we're creating something, it's never a smooth path. There's many times, right, that we're wrought with doubt, with uncertainty. And I would ask, we only have about a minute, but what would you say would be the primary tool that you use when you are wrought with doubt and uncertainty about something that you are doing?
I would pause. I would pause. I would ground. I would feel my feet on the ground. I would feel my body. I'd feel the support of the earth. And I would just wait.
Mm.
And in the classroom, or as a parent, sometimes it was just looking in the eyes of a student, or just looking at my own daughters and not feeling like I have to do anything in that 5 seconds.
Those could be the most powerful 3 sentences I've ever heard. Looking in someone's eyes, right? You feel that when someone looks in your eyes, it penetrates you. It creates space. It reminds us of our humanness. There's no words to even describe how powerful it is. So we do actually have a caller, which when we get back from the break, even though we won't be able to look into their eyes, we're going to bring them in and, see what they have to share with us or any questions that may have. And, it is crazy how fast time goes, but we are listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I am Karen Benton, And my guest is Liz Slade. And when we return, we'll continue on with this conversation. We'll bring in the caller. And feel free, anyone else there, to call in 1-800-930-2819.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself, you can't make decisions, and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
This is Karen Benton. I am the regular guest host for Colette Stephan once a month. I happen to be filling in with her this week because we've switched. I am here with Liz Slade, a change maker, a leader, a teacher, a woman filled with wisdom and pearls in the real life, day-to-day teaching of children. And we have been discussing meditation, mindfulness, and most recently, practices that help us find space to connect to our own wisdom, to take action. And Liz, you had a particular pearl that we were both excited for you to share with the community. So please go right ahead.
Okay. And then I know there's a caller. So
we're right. Take the caller. Yes.
I just wanted to share a little bit more around what I said about just pausing. And I'll just tell you a story from the last number of years in my classroom that, you know, every morning when the kids came in, they'd put their stuff away, whichever grade I was teaching, and they'd come to the rug. And earlier in my teaching career, then I'd feel impelled to like hurry into doing stuff with them. But over time, I just would let them come to the rug and I would pause and I would feel my feet and I would be aware of my body. And I would just drink in the presence of the kids. and I would settle. And it took maybe 3 seconds, maybe five, maybe 10, and the group would settle too. And all the mindfulness and mind-body tools I taught them, I think that experience of shared pausing and then shared settling was really profound, because the kids were having a deeply embodied experience of what it's like to just kind of say, ah, without any teaching, without any technique. And then it was my time just to kind of connect with the heart of what I was doing and the beauty of these kids. And we began to call it caring moments, which we would look for throughout the day. But I would sit there and I would look into each of their eyes, which I have done my whole teaching career, actually, but with the spin of giving it just that tiny bit of space and savoring it. And they began to look back and smile, and it set the tone for the whole day. And I think even when we feel that, you know, I'm so rushed, I'm so crazed, I have time, I don't have time for practice, I don't have time to sit down and meditate for an hour. Those tiny pauses where we can just drink in, whoa, here I am with my kids, you know, is truly powerful. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, you can even feel, I feel like I was breathing differently just by listening to you describe the experience that you had in the morning. And I'm sure many in the community could feel that way too, that you can sort of tap into that, the what you transfer to your children or to whoever you're teaching comes from your own practice, your own experiences with it, because it's not even so much what you say, although that of course is very important too, but there's an energy that is emanating from your voice when you're tapped into that, that is just beautiful and powerful. And I could listen to it all day.
And the only other thing that I just want to say, and this is, you know, for those, you know, parents who have kids in school or for people who are teaching, we're talking about, really, to me, it's more, I call it these days more heartfulness than mindfulness, and it's teaching from presence and love. And, but that doesn't exclude the riches that come with creativity and academic learning and literature and math and science. But what has happened year after year after year, when I make space for the social and emotional lives of students, and when I allow myself the presence and the self-nurturing so that I can love them, and especially also if I can allow them to express who they are, to and accept all feelings and provide a holding container for the emotional life, kids' learning just skyrockets. So it impacts their intellectual growth.
It's like they become more efficient, right, at learning, because
their hearts open up and they're less constricted, and they
they can receive it more deeply. Beautiful. So we're going to take our caller, Carter, if you could bring.
Yeah. So we have a caller who introduced herself as Mom from Montreal. So welcome to the show.
Hello, Mom from Montreal. Welcome.
Hi, Mom. Thank you, Karen. Thank you so much, Liz. I am a student or a keen appreciator of Colette Marie Stassin, and I'm identifying myself as mom this morning because I'm here in Montreal from British Columbia visiting my two young adult daughters who live here. And I wanted to say a heartfelt thank you. Oh, my goodness. Liz, I have just been drinking in what you and Karen have been sharing today, this morning on the phone, on this program, and the heartfulness, you know, showing up, being a container for the emotional lives of each and every one of those precious hearts that find their way into these, you know, these situations, learning institutions or schools, and there are real gold, really, truly.
Yeah.
You know? And And when our heart is feeling, when we feel safe and loved and appreciated, man, magic happens, you know. We spend more time at school or at jobs than we do with our families, most of us in this day and age.
Mm.
So what you're doing is just golden, and thank you. I'm calling, you know, I've received lots of gifts from listening to you women this morning on the show, but I was calling in because, you know, although I've always seen, as most of us do as mothers, I think just our family and our children, we want to give them everything. They're our gold, and then they grow into be adults and human beings in themselves. And I'm in this stage now where things have shifted and changed, and just trying to remember to always pause and listen, but it's a full-time job.
Bloody pausing it needs to, happen all the time.
Yeah. So maybe I'm just calling in for a bit of shift support and just staying in that place of neutrality and just listening. And, you know, I just had just one little situation that happened that I couldn't ignore. You know, youngest daughter has gotten a new apartment with her partner, and I was clearing the back porch in these lovely little bohemian apartment, and I stood on this octagonal table to clear the back doorway. My partner was at the front of the building, and she was out at work, and I fell off the table, and it flew up into the air, this octagon table, and nailed me right in the sternum. Mm-hmm. Right in my chest. And I am so lucky that I'm still in one piece and kind of moved through that. But it was one of those frying pan moments when I was just going down, you know, just getting too swept up in the moment of things, and things are changing. I feel like I got kind of psychic heart surgery at that time. But I'm going to be quiet for a moment and let you two lovely people respond to what I shared with you.
Mm. Karen, can I go first?
You absolutely okay. Go.
So first, just want to say, I think the phase of parenting independent young adults is a whole new and challenging phase of parents and of parenting. And in some ways, even that is like heart surgery.
That's great.
And, you know, and for myself, because I'm in that same phase, and the world, you know, when I hear about you, you know, your little accident, it's like, whoa, that's so almost, it's like a metaphor for what that phase of parenting is, where we're just like, we are in transformation. Yep. Our kids are in transformation. You know, and I truly believe that it's a really important time for our own practice and for volumes and volumes and volumes of self-compassion, because there's no way that we can ever have fully prepared our kids for this world. And we have fully prepared them, and the challenges are so huge. And I find it, you know, it's when I have to go back to my own practice. And the more I practice, and the more I just let go of all the, you know, the emotional knots within myself, and work and both accept and heal my own wounding, I feel like it still has an impact on my children.
Yeah.
But boy, yeah. First of all, I hope you're okay. On the physical.
I am. I'm better than I was.
Yeah. Isn't it funny?
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah, I feel it was
disorienting. Yeah. It's a very disorienting time of life, I think, for mamas.
I would add into that what you said about you feel like you know that there's taking care of ourselves
as mothers, as women, as transformers, as leaders in this sort of expanded approach to life, can sometimes feel like a burden. And I want to acknowledge that on one level, and invite that burden, you know, that your own skills, your own internal wisdom, the part of you that shows up for all these roles that you play and all these experiences you engage in, the real you, right? That's sort of consistently a part of being a mother or a friend or a neighbor or a student or a teacher, has a wisdom that permeates everything you do. And there are times in our lives where we do need to truly honor that piece of ourselves, and it requires more time. And one of where it's not necessarily widely accepted in society, but we can offer each other that support that maybe we do need to pull back for a period of time, a week or 2 weeks, and really nurture ourselves by being alone with ourselves so that we get to know ourselves more deeply. I'm a big believer, you know, there's all sorts of approaches, but I've always dabbled with the idea of homeschooling our children. And I had a recent conversation with my mother-in-law saying, I often think time alone gives us more discernment on how to show up in relationship than actually being in social situations where we are putting on masks and putting on ideas about ourselves. And often we will, in seeking out time alone, create an experience that requires us to be at home, whether that's break a foot, have a table land on us, or do something, you know, develop an illness, something that we can then rely upon is accepted readily by society as requiring time off. And we can marinate in the transformation that we are desiring to bring forward in our lives while we integrate and more develop clarity on what we are ready to let go of, the aspects of ourselves, maybe the roles that we play in some areas, and become more deeply, truly authentic. That seemed kind of long-winded, but hopefully that...
That is bingo. Thank you, Karen. Oh, boy. And even that one word, when you mentioned at the beginning of your sharing, you mentioned burden, and I just got all teared up because really that was at the heart of it. You know, the truth is funny, right? And that was a layer of it. How can I serve? How can I make myself useful? Because what is my role now? And blah, blah, blah. But you
really, and bringing back to what Liz said, right? That idea that the ripple effect of filling your own cup creates an environment where everything actually, we love the idea of efficiency, right? Becomes more efficient, right? Our clarity is easier to access because we become more attuned to our own true nature. And that's the gift that Liz was describing in a classroom. But that didn't come from, you know, what we believe to be doing. It came from space and being. And that's not always an easy skill, you know. And like everything else in life, we're not... It's newer in our world. We're coming out of a phase that was very doing, particularly many of our generation. And doing was very successful for us, so there was nothing wrong with that. But we're transitioning into needing to integrate that more deeply with being. And it's not familiar for many, and we can acknowledge that and put the time into perhaps taking a class with Liz Slade or meeting here on the radio once a month, because it's this free opportunity to challenge each other and to hold space for each other and to feel and see the ripple effect. So I want to thank you so much for calling in. This was a beautiful gift to the entire community. And we actually have one more caller, which maybe we'll bring them on, because I love to bring everyone on as quick as we can. And I just wanted to say thank you so much, Mom. Mom from Montreal. Okay, so Carter, can we bring in the next caller?
Yeah, we have Beth from New York. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Beth.
Thank you.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Bierko, and so Liz and... Liz and I are actually long-term friends and colleagues, and we're moms of young children together. So but I love to talk about parenting young adults and all the challenges. It sounds like its own workshop in the making, ladies.
future partnership.
Exactly. So I have actually had the great pleasure of being part of the Chatsworth community and as a teaching artist. My husband and I do music and storytelling, and we travel around to schools. And I just wanted to acknowledge the work that your community is doing, because as somebody who visits over 100 schools every school year, the work that Liz and your community has put in place really shows. When we have come there to do performances, to do workshops, there is a way that the kids are present and engaged and enthusiastic that is different than a lot of the other schools that we go to. So I wanted to call in and just kind of testify on behalf of the great work that's happening and how important, I believe, as a fellow mindfulness teacher, yoga teacher, it's been, you know, I've done 25 years in education and just always feel that we need to tend to the whole body learning. And that is the social emotional element. It is also tuning in to what is physically needed and appropriate. And flowing with where the kids are. And also, I loved that Liz brought up the idea of supporting the teachers. And I think teachers are increasingly being asked to do more and more with less and less. And that it's the age old cliche of on the airplane, put your own mask on first. I think it's harder and harder for parents and teachers, for all of us, to stay regulated with how much is coming at us all the time. But that's really, it starts with us and then filters out to the kids.
Fabulous.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much for calling in, Beth. We appreciate that. And it's always great to hear the ripple effect that our own transformations invite in the world at large. And I feel that's what you are sharing with everybody. And that is fabulous. So thank you for your time.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a great show, Karen. And Liz, isn't always happy to tell the world how wonderful you are.
Thank you, Beth. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. So here we are. I think we have, about 5 minutes left. Liz, would you, do us the honors of leading us in? Could you lead us in maybe a 3-minute meditation?
We'll do. Why don't we do, since kids love imaginary journeys, we'll do a visualization.
Imagination. Fabulous.
A little imaginary journey. And because I started out talking about the impact of just coming back to our deepest heart's desire, really, that can infuse our teaching and parenting, why don't we do a quick little practice around that? So wherever you are, I invite you to possibly close your eyes, possibly just let your gaze be a little unfocused, maybe looking downward, and just notice that you're sitting. So we're just coming inward, just noticing that you're sitting, inviting your body to be tall but relaxed, embodying dignity and ease. And just taking one or two deep, nourishing breaths. And just letting your breath be normal, letting your body just be. Imagine that you're standing on a giant map. And I will say that for kids, imagination is so powerful, but it is for us too. And in this case, this is the map of your childhood. And maybe it's also sort of a garden. And you're standing on the edge and you're holding a basket. And in a moment, you're going to take a stroll. We don't have a lot of time, but a little stroll through your childhood and your schooling and looking for the times that really touched your heart. And in particular, when you felt seen, cared about, encouraged, supported, or inspired. The times that helped you touch in with your deepest self and your deepest worth. And there may have been times of pain, but today we're looking for the good. We're looking for what touched us. So when we set out, possibly starting in your earliest childhood, if you can remember, but just begin to wander through and about a garden or a map of your childhood. Slowly, almost on a little hunt for experiences of care and inspiration. Maybe you're in early childhood, maybe it's elementary school, maybe it's later. Just looking around, not pressuring yourself to find anything, but if you find a little moment of goodness, it could even be someone smiling at you. Possibly pick it up as an artifact or a flower or a stone and just put it in your basket. And maybe say thank you. And then wandering about some more, looking for those moments that nourished you. Mm. And gather them in your basket and saying thank you to all of them. Taking one deeper and holding it all in your heart.
That is so beautiful, Liz. I hate to end it, but we do need to end at this moment to finish up and say before we get cut off, Liz, thank you so much for being on the show. That was such a beautiful meditation that could have gone on and on. Please email Liz if you would like to get a full version of this. I'm sure we can come up with a way to share that with the community.
Sure.
She clearly has such talent for this. It is a pleasure to connect all with you, for the callers, for Beth and for Mum from Montreal, for the audience. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you to Carter. Thank you to everyone whose stories continue to ripple out as we each support all of us to deepen our authentic natures that we bring into this world, to thank our teachers, to thank our transformers, people that open us to everything's out there that's possible that we all can tap into. So thank you, Liz. We will be back next week. Colette will be on the show Wednesday, 8 a.m. And bye for now.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information.